Bruchim HaBoyim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Chukas. Wonderful to see an almost sold out crowd in our Gan Ariel, and for all those who are here live, and for those who are listening to the recording live, and for those who will hear Bezos Hashem when it's sent out, Bruchim HaBoyim. Fantastic to be able to have Parsha Insights once again, Parshas Chukas. Please keep in mind that the shir is said, Lezecher Nishmas Ule'ile Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel, may the Neshama Tahiris have a lichtig, lichtig Gan Eden. In the beginning of the Parsha, we speak about Zeis Chukas HaTaira. It's talking about the Para Aduma. And there the Pasuk tells us Zeis Chukas HaTaira, it's an introduction, the opening of the Parsha to the Para Aduma. Now it's very interesting because really if you heard what I just told you, the next Pasuk speaks about V'yichol lecha Para Aduma Tamima. This is really all about the red cow. This is really all about the Para Aduma. So why then in the introduction to the mitzvah of Para Aduma does the Torah say Zeis Chukas HaTaira, implying that whatever it is that's applicable to Para Aduma is really universal. Zeis Chukas HaTaira. We don't find that very often when we discuss the laws of the Pesach and Karban Pesach, we say Zeis Chukas HaPesach. And this is indeed the law regarding the Karban Pesach. So wouldn't you think over here that if we're talking about something regarding the laws of Tumah and Tahara, purity and the lack thereof, don't you think that we would have introduced or used by way of introduction the laws of Para Aduma by saying either Zeis Chukas HaPara or Zeis Chukas HaTahira, these are the laws of purity. What's implied with the idea where we're talking specifically about Para Aduma and yet we speak about it in universal terms? Zeis Chukas HaTaira, as if this is something that's relevant to the entirety of the Torah. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kol Lashon Bracha, tells us such a powerful pshat. Indeed, the Torah used the word Zeis Chukas HaTaira deliberately, for the laws of Para Aduma are not merely Zeis Chukas HaPara, or these are the laws, the statutes as it applies to purity and impurity, but rather there's an element that applies to Para Aduma. There's a concept that applies to Para Aduma that's universal. Zeis Chukas HaTaira. There's something in Para Aduma that dictates the entirety of the Torah. And that's why it says Zeis Chukas HaTaira. Says Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kol Lashon Bracha, so powerfully. When we think about Para Aduma, the first thing I think we think about is the inherent contradiction. It's Metaher the Temeim and Metame the Tahirim, which of course means those who were pure, like the one who carried the ashes, he will become impure. And the one who was impure by having the ashes sprinkled on him becomes pure. So the inherent contradiction within Para Aduma is that it takes what was pure, makes that person not pure. The one who wasn't pure now becomes pure. So there's this contradiction that seems to be taking place. Says Rav Moshe, really that contradiction, or if you will, the swinging of the pendulum from pure to impure, from tameh to tahar, opposite ends of the spectrum, really has to relate to every midah and character trait. If you think about it, by the way, the word midah we translate as you have good midahs, midahs tayves, but midah is also a weight. A midah is a weight and a measurement, because we see from over here how important it is to have midahs in different weights and in different measurements, and sometimes, like the Para Aduma, opposite ends of the spectrum. By example, he says, we know the importance of humility, of anivus. In fact, this past week in our Pirkei Avos shir, we spoke out the mission, the beginning of the fourth parak, when it speaks about shfal ruach, to be humble. It says, ma'oid, ma'oid. Unusual to find the word ma'oid twice. We spent a long time answering why in our Pirkei Avos shir. We're not going to repeat it now, but I'm just bringing to your attention that humility is such an important, important midah that when it speaks about it in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, it says, ma'oid, ma'oid. Now, we have to be humble when it comes to our own interests, when it comes to ourselves. However, when it comes to defending someone else's honor or speaking about a neighbor, somebody who might be under attack, don't be humble there. Don't be humble. Speak about their praises, build them up, honor them. Do that. In other words, for yourself, you have extreme anivus and humility. But when it comes to zealously defending our neighbor's honor and someone else's interests are concerned, there we'll have the opposite. Humility for our own honor, but a pride, an honor, a dignity when I speak about somebody else. And really the concept of Para Aduma, as we said, by Para Aduma, it is taking what seems to be the inherent contradiction of the one who was Tahar becoming Tomei and the one who was Tomei becoming Tahar. It's the same concept with everything in the Torah. And that's why it says, or Moshe, it says about Para Aduma, Zayschukas HaTorah. In other words, what applies to the laws of Para Aduma, make it applicable and plug it in to every midah across the spectrum, university of the entire Torah. Like I just gave you an example. When speaking about yourself, that's done with extreme humility. But when wanting to defend someone's honor, speak about that person, there you, as we said, you'll do it with tremendous honor and pride. Of course, that's not an arrogance. You're building the person up. We could say the same paradox applies when it comes to spending money. When it comes to your money vis-a-vis giving, I want you to give tzedakah lavishly. I want you to give meiser. If you can, I want you to give more if possible. In other words, when it comes to your money, I want you to spend in a very lavish sense. But now it comes to your friend's money, your neighbor's money, don't be such a break the person on Yenim's cheshbin. Yes, be scrupulous. There's a concept of being chas al mamayim shel Yisrael, even a little bit uptight, if you will. A certain sense of being overly scrupulous. It's your money. I have to be very careful with it. Of course, I have to be careful with my money as well. But the point is, when it comes to my money, there's a certain frame of mind of lavish spending vis-a-vis tzedakah, charity, kindness, maisim tovim. But it's the opposite end of that midah. I have to be extremely exacting and careful when it comes to your money. And Rav Moshe says that applies throughout the Torah HaKadoshah. So he says so beautifully the concept and the apparent contradiction that's found in Para Aduma, Zayischukas HaTorah, that which takes place by Para Aduma, apply that concept of things that seemingly are polar opposites, opposite ends of the spectrum, inherent contradictions to every midah. You know, if you think about it, that's really what Shlomo HaMelech is referring to in Koheles when he speaks about Lachol Zeman Va'es. Everything has a season. Everything has a time. And some of them are easily understood, perhaps, like Laledes and Lamus is a time to be born and a time that a person passes away, or a time to laugh and a time to cry. But every one of these itim, if you think about it, could very well be, like the Para Aduma, an inherent contradiction, some more obvious than others. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Eish Shalom, Eish Milchama. But what do you mean? You certainly want me to be a man of peace. So what do you mean that there's a time of Milchama? And the obvious, although there are many answers to that, Certainly one answer is, you're right. There's a time to want to do everything that you can to be Marba Shalom. And this is coming on the coattails of last week's Parsha, Parsha's Kairach, when we spoke out countless times the utter devastation, sometimes irreparable damage of Machlokes, and therefore the proper approach is that of Shalom. But you can say that taking that approach of Shalom is always what is needed. If there is a particular situation where, let's say, Chalila, the Torah, is being attacked by someone, or one of our Gedolim, one of our Eime Ha'Eidah, Chalila, being attacked, you don't take the approach that, well, I'm a man of peace, I don't want to get... Rise up! Rise up like a lion and fight the Melchama. Stand up for the Torah. Stand up for the Gadol. Stand up for our Gedolim. That's not a time to passively sit back and say, no, I'm a man of peace. I don't want to get involved. After all, there isn't anything more important than Shalom. Of course that's true. But there are times Shlema HaMelech is teaching us Eish Shalom, Eish Melchama, that same person who's the very personification of Shalom and making peace has to know when you have to fight a Melchama. Somebody said something connected to Torah? Somebody said something connected to one of our Gedolim? Like a fierce lion, stand up. That's not a time for passivity and saying, well, I don't get involved. Get involved! And that is the idea of Paraduma. It's something that seems to be an inherent contradiction, because if you think about it, Shlomo, I ask you, well, what do you mean? Is it Shalom or is it Melchama? Which is it? The answer is yes. L'chol zman v'es. And that is why it says Rav Moshe, the Paraduma is really an example for Zayzchukas HaTorah, for the entirety of how every midah has to be applied in the Torah. Maybe that's a little bit of a takeoff of the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara in Shabbos says, and it's a Gemara we've quoted many times, that the first question, according to some, that a person will be asked is, Kavata itim la Torah? Did you set aside time every day for daily study? But we've said many times a beautiful explanation that there's another way to translate that first question that Rabbi Yisai, after 120 gesunta years, we're going to be asked. Kavata itim, did you establish the itim? Which itim? The 28 enumerated by Shlomo HaMelech and Koheles, did you establish those itim la Torah, according to my Torah's definition of when to have Shalom, when to have Melchama, when to behave this way, when to behave that way? That's a powerful question that we're going to have to answer. Did you live by the 28 Itim the way the Torah understood those Itim are to be lived? There is a time for Shalom, but there's also a time for Melchama, as we said already twice. And it all stems from the apparent contradiction, the inherent contradiction of Paraduma, which, as we said, is not really such a contradiction. Zayzchukas HaTorah, it's actually a reference to how the Torah and each and every Midah must be. Take a look a little bit later on at a Pasuk, the beginning of Perek Chof, Pasuk Gimel. Rabbi, we just finished Paraduma. What's the next thing the Parsha talks about? Misas, Miriam, the Pasuk says, Terekhov Pasuk Aleph, Vatamas Shom Miriam. Miriam died and she was buried there. There was no water. The well had dried up. There was simply a terrible lack of water. How did we respond in Pasuk Yim? I'd like the Olam to hear what I think is one of the finest pshat that we have ever said. Take a look at Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk says, how did we respond? Vayarev ha'om im Moshe. We quarreled. The word vayarev is from the word riv. Riv, meriva, is of course a reference to an argument, a quarreling, a bickering. We quarreled with Moshe and we started to complain. You took us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to this evil place. There's no water to drink. Umayim ayin lishtos. Listen to an incredible pshat from the Kli Yakar. Moira Verabais, I look up for a moment. What was the word that was used regarding this lack of water? The word used for machlekes and quarreling and bickering was the word in Pasuk Gimel, vayarev. The Kli Yakar brings down that this word for machlekes, this word for quarreling, the word riva, as in the word vayarev that I just read you, is something that you only find lo matzinu kiyam etzel mayim. You find it time and time again by mayim, by water. And he proceeds to give us some incredible examples. If you take a look in Parshas Bishalach, Parshas Bishalach was, of course, the water or the getting the water from the rach. And there the Pasuk says, again, dealing with mayim, dealing with water. The Pasuk says, Bishalach Yud Zayin Zayin, Vayikra Shem Hamokim, Masa Umeriva. This place became known as Masa Umeriva, the place of contention, the place of quarreling, Al Riv B'nei Yisrael, for the contention and quarreling that B'nei Yisrael did towards Moshe Rabbeinu here. Once again, dealing with Mayim, we see the word Riv, quarreling and arguing. Goes the Kli Yakar to tell us another example. If you take a look in Bereishis, Chavav Yudtes, there we're talking about the Roye Yitzchak, the shepherds of Yitzchak, and the Pasuk tells us regarding the wells and the entire story by the Plishtim. The Pasuk says, Chavav Yudtes, Vayorivu Roye Giror im Roye Yitzchak. The servants quarreled with each other. The herdsmen, the shepherds, I should say, quarreled with each other. So the Kli Yakar makes a fabulous observation time and time again. This idea of machloikes, as used by the word riv, is found by water, by water, by water, by water. What is it about mayim that time and time again creates machloikes? The Kli Yakar explains what I imagine some of you are already thinking. Because Machloikes came to this world on the day of the creation of the Mayim. If you take a look at the Mayim, that's when there was Machloikes. In fact, that's why we know that on that day, it doesn't say on that day of creation the word Ki Tov. Why doesn't, every other day it says Ki Tov, why doesn't it say Ki Tov on that day, the creation of water? Because when there is Riv, when there is Machlekes, it's not Ki Tov, and therefore the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, therefore on the day that the water was created, as the Pasuk says, Vayehi Mavdil Bein Mayim L'Moyim, Vayehi Mavdil Bein Mayim L'Moyim, there was a separation. That Mavdil, that Havdalah, is a reference to a Machlekes. Now, of course, it wasn't a machlekes in the sense that we envision a machlekes. It was a machlekes in the sense of separating the upper water from the lower water, the mayim elyonim from the mayim tachtonim. But be it as it may, it was a havdalah. It was a quarreling of sorts. It was a riva of sorts. And therefore, and on that day, there's no Ki Tov. It doesn't say Ki Tov. Why doesn't it say Ki Tov? Because on the day that machlekes, this quarreling was introduced, it will not say Ki Tov, it will not say that it's good. Therefore, the Kli Yakar points out, since the original Havdalah, the Machlokes, the Riva, came on the day of the Mayim, Vayehi Mavdil Bein Mayim, the Mayim, that's why you find in the Torah time and time again, by the water, each time, like we said in Bereishis, by the Roye Yitzchok and Roye Giror, and we said again in Bishalach, and we have in this week's Parsha, every time it speaks about Mayim, there seems to be a river, there seems to be a fight, because that is the way it was originally when the world was created. So we have to add a beautiful concept that I saw on Sefer Birkas Eliyahu that is absolutely breathtaking. If we would spend the rest of this year and the next year and the week after on it, we couldn't say Dayenu. If water has the ability
to bring about machlekes, so to speak, quarreling, contention, and arguing, then certainly water has the ability to bring about peace. And we know that because we find in Kehelet, Shlomo HaMelech says a very famous concept, Zeh le'umas zeh bore elikim. It's a concept we speak about often, sometimes refer to it as zu le'umas zu. The idea is that if you'll watch my hands, perhaps we'll understand that whatever I have working in a negative sense on this side, there has to be an equal something to balance it out on the opposite side positively. You find this concept very often. That's why, by example, when Yaakov Avinu was born, it was at the same time of Esav. In other words, there was so much evil from Esav, there had to be inherently so much goodness from Yaakov in a way to, so to speak, balance it out. But you always have this idea of zu le'umazu, which basically loosely means that if it could do it in this direction, it could surely do it in the other direction. So if the Kli Yoter tells us that we see time and time and time again that Mayim has the ability to bring about Riv, Machloikes, quarreling and contention, then Zeh le'umazeh Baro Lekim would tell us that Mayim certainly has the Kliyach, surely has the Kliyach to bring about Shalom and peace. And he brings a beautiful proof. And I'd like to actually first tell you the proof that he brings and why it excited me so much. And then b'siyata d'shmaya, Hashem allowed me to think of another answer that, if you'll take a look, I'll just show you holding up the Sefer Birkas Elio. I wrote it in pen on the side because I think it's something that's worth repeating. But first let me tell you what he answers in the Sefer. Why did I get so excited? Because it's a pshat from the Chasam Sofer that I can't even tell you how many countless times we have said this pshat. And every time we say it, we are astonished at how beautiful the pshat is. The Gemara in the Brachos Daf Samach Daled Amud Aleph says, Omer Rabbi Elozer, Omer Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Margim Shalom Ba'olam, which means Talmidei Chachamim bring an infusion of Shalom into the world. Now, the simple explanation of how they do that is because of their persona, their demeanor, their Ibergegebenkeit, their Presemlichkeit. They'll bring Shalom to the world. However, famously, the Chasam Sofer gives a different answer. How is it that Talmidei Chachamim bring Shalom into the world? He says so beautifully. When the world was created, there was a certain amount of Melchama that was decided for every generation. That's the amount of the Melchama there's going to be. That's not negotiable. As if my hands represent the volume of Melchama, that's the way it is in each and every generation, whatever was predestined and predetermined. But what was not predetermined was what type of milchama is that volume going to be used on. There's the type of milchama, unfortunately, that we've been witnessing, and sometimes all too often and too common, the milchama of where people want to rise up and cause us harm. But then there's another type of milchama. What's that milchama? Did you ever walk into a vibrant Beis Medrash where people are learning and you hear the Kol Torah arguing on a pshat of Abaye and Rava, arguing in a machlekes of Hillel and Shammai, wanting to learn pshat and Niksos, hurrying over Rambam or Ravid? When you hear that, what are you listening to? You're listening to what's known as Melchamta Shel Torah. Melchamta Shel Torah. Melchamta Shel Torah means the Melchama of Torah learning. Says the Heilig Yichzam Sefer, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, what was predetermined is that in every generation there's a volume of Melchama. But what type of Melchama is it going to be? What type of Melchama is that volume? That's up to us. And the more that the Talmidei Chachamim and those who learn Torah, as my hands will now indicate as you watch, use the volume of Milchama for Milchamta Shel Torah, 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 there's very little room left for the other type of Milchama. And that's what it means, Talmidei Chachamim, by using up the volume of Milchama from Milchamta Shel Torah, Marbim Shalom Va'olam. There's going to be peace in the world because there's almost no room for the other type of Milchama. And we, of course, know, concludes the Sefer Birkas Eliyahu, that Torah is often compared to Mayim. I assume you've been thinking that and you wanted to call that out. Torah is compared to Mayim. That means that if Torah is compared to Mayim, and we just said that by learning Torah and getting involved in Milchamta Shel Torah, Milchamta Shel Torah, Milchamta Shel Torah, as my hands are closing in, there's no room left for the other type of Milchama, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. So it comes out that Torah, i.e. Mayim, brings Shalom to the world. Ah! What a pshat. Pile, 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 poyim. Water could represent the ultimate of machlokes and riva, and water could represent the ultimate of shalom. And that's the way the world is created. Zeh l'uma zeh bara elikim. Yes, you find a reference to Mayim and Riva, quarreling, contention, bickering, and machlokes time and time again. But that means inherent in the power of Mayim must also lie the ability to bring everlasting shalom. And indeed, because as we already said a moment ago, Mayim is Torah. And Torah, when you use up the volume in the generation from Milchamta Shel Torah, there's no room left for anything other than Shalom al Yisrael. I'd like, before we conclude this shiur, though, to add something that I thought of. Perhaps you could say the following as well. The pshat that we're discussing is the idea that Mayim, although it brings about such riv, arguing, as we showed time and time again, but that means inherent in Mayim is the ability, zeh l'uma zeh bara elikim, to bring about shalom. I thought perhaps we could see this in another way as well. When we say inherent in Mayim, we mean it not just figuratively, we mean it literally. Inherent, I believe, in the letters of Mayim. Mayim is spelled Mem Yud Mem. It's interesting, Rabbi Yisai, the vast majority of the letters in the Aleph Beis, the gematria, the numeric value of the letter that you see, and the hidden part of that letter as it sounds, aren't comparable at all. Let's take the first letter, Aleph. Aleph has the gematria of 1, but Aleph, the sound you heard in the letter, Aleph, was a Lamed and a Fei. A Lamed and a Fei, 30 and 80 is 110. 1 isn't anywhere near 110. Let's take the second letter, Beis. Beis is a 2. But Beis, when spelled as a word, is Beis Yud Sah. So what was hidden but heard? A Yud and a Saf, which is 410. 2 to 410 isn't even close. There are a few letters where the Nigva and the Nistar, what you see and what's hidden but heard, or should I say Toichei Kibare, what you see on the outside but what's hidden on the inside, are Oto Davar, exactly the same. One of those letters that's so unique is Mem. Mem is the gematria of 40. Spelled as a word, mem, it's a hidden mem, which is another 40. So the revealed and the hidden, each is 40. Toichei kibaroi, each is 40. Take a look at the letter yud. Yud is similar. Yud has the value of 10. But when spelled as a word, yud, it's spelled yud vav dalet. So the hidden, but heard, was Vav and Dalet, 6 and 4, which is again 10. So the letters of Mayim, Mem, Yud, Mem, each of those letters have the extreme uniqueness that the Nigla and the Nistar, what you see and what's hidden, are exactly the same. It's true for the letter Mem, it's true for the letter Yud, and it's true for the Mem at the end, of course, as well. And that's really the concept of Toichei Kibaro. Toichei Kibaro means be the real deal, so to speak. Be genuine and sincere. In other words, that what one sees is really the way one is on the inside. Not two-faced, not echad bepeh, echad belev. So I was thinking to myself, maybe that's also an explanation. How is it that Mayim also brings shalom? It's inherent in the letters of Mayim. That's the lesson. That's the answer. Because just as the letters of Mayim, the Med, Yud, and the Mem, the Nigla and the Nistar are the same. It's Toichei Kibaroi that represents a certain emeskeit, a certain genuineness and sincerity. And when you have emes, when you have a genuineness and sincerity, that brings shalom amitius, true peace. I think maybe that's a pshat that inherent in the letters of Mayim, it teaches you the end goal of how to achieve. In fact, the Maral speaks out, it's very well known, that shalom is a form of emes. Shalom is a form of emes. And really you see here that in the letters of Mayim, what's represented is a certain, what you see and what's hidden is the same. Toichei Kibaroi, that represents an honesty, a sincerity, a genuineness. If you will, it's an amitius. It's the truth of the person. And by the way, when you want a friend, that's the type of friend that you want. That's the type of friend that you know will be there for you through thick or thin, whatever it is. That's the type of friend that you want. A friend that's similar to the Mayim. The Nigla and the Nistar are the same. Toichei is Kibaroi. It represents an honesty, an integrity, a genuineness, a sincerity. That behavior of the letters of Mayim brings about shalom. I hope Be'ezras Hashem, as we spend an entire shiur seeing inherent contradictions, different swinging of the pendulum, how to behave when, Zayischukas HaTaira, that we will make sure everything is done with that seal of MS, as represented by the letters of Mayim. It's a certain sincerity. You know when you have that in a friend, it's such a beautiful Nida. It's such a beautiful Midah. And that MS of the Nigla and the Nistar is indicated in the letters of Mayim, Taka brings about shalom. May we be zoicha to that day. In fact, as the Rambam says, there's going to be a day where the knowledge is going to be kamayim layom mechasim. The Rambam says we await that day when the world will be so filled and overflowing with knowledge, kimayim layom mechasim, like the water. As one can turn the water from achleikus into shalom, may we taka be zeicha now to that day, kamayim layom mechasim, that day of the ultimate emes, which will bring us the must needed, the very needed, shalom al Yisrael.